Welcome back. If you haven't already, make sure to download your notes so you can follow Steve, jot down some key ideas, and really absorb this important lesson. Now, here's Steve.
Let me say that again. You don't need to ignore your children any longer because the science is showing us that all you need is one particular approach that asks three simple questions. And when you and I ask the first question, why is my child acting this way? And then we go into the second question, what do I want him to learn in this moment? And we ask the third question, how can I best teach my child at this moment everything? Life in your living room starts to absolutely change because now when you ask that why question, you have clarity, you start to get more confidence, and then you start moving with authority, confidence, and a whole lot of empathy. So these three powerful questions can help you get and stay not only out of survival mode, but they can get you off of autopilot and help you and I start to respond instead of react to misbehavior when it erupts. Let me say that again, that you and I can learn how to respond instead of react when misbehavior starts to erupt in your home. So I want to give you an example. Let's say that your child doesn't listen, starts to backtalk a lot, throws a lot of tantrums. Here's the challenge. Before you and I respond to the misbehavior, your first challenge is to ask question number one. Why is my child acting that way? Now, I want you to think about this. When your car doesn't start, you don't get out and just kick it. You don't just get out and walk away. You don't just trade it in for a new car. You ask those problem-solving questions. Why won't my car start? Is it low on gas? You know, what seems to be the issue? Is the battery dead? And all of those kinds of why questions help you get a clearer picture, clarity, on what's really going on with the automobile. Well, the same is true with a car. You see, when you and I ask the why question, we get clarity. Think about this. The behavioral approach skips right over the why question. I teach behavior modification. You don't ask your clients, why is your child acting that way? The first thing you do is you say, well, here's what you need to do. And you pull out all of your techniques. And if you watch Super Nanny, you know what I'm talking about. She pulls out all the techniques and I'm not trying to put her down at all. But what I'm saying is the behavioral approach is very, very technique focused. And it doesn't ask the deeper question as to why is my child acting that way. So when your child is misbehaving and you start to ask why, you're no longer going to be triggered. You're no longer going to be on autopilot. You're no longer going to be a reactive parent. Instead, that why question is going to key you into getting curious, to being open-minded, to being an open-minded problem solver. And then what ends up happening just off that alone is you quit getting blindsided by those hidden biopsychosocial forces. And instead, you start to recognize how those forces very often drive the unwanted behaviors in the children you absolutely love. And so you shift out of autopilot, you stop assuming control, manipulation, and poor choices. I see this all the time with parents. When you start asking why, you quit assuming that my child's making a poor choice. He's trying to control his world and the adults in it. He's trying for attention, because that's what the behavioralists will tell you. Oh, you know, he's just trying to get attention. And you start looking at deeper reasons. So for example, I want you to think about this. When you ask the why question, you're going to start noticing that misbehavior, you're going to want to write this down, that misbehavior is often nothing more than stress behavior. Let me say that again, that misbehavior is very often stress-related behavior. What I'm going to suggest to you that when your child is misbehaving, it can very often be an SOS signal. Things like, Mom, I'm in distress. Dad, I'm overstimulated. I'm hungry. I'm angry. I'm lonely. I'm tired. I need help. Johnny took my truck and I'm dysregulated. I don't know what to do, so I'm going to hit him right now. That's stress behavior. And if you and I just assume he's just making a poor choice, ooh, in subtle ways, we're starting to miss him. And I don't want you to miss your children. I don't want you to be duped by the behavioral approach. I want to help you learn the in-touch parenting approach that asks the why, the what, and the how, because again, you're going to stop reacting and you're going to start responding. So one of the reasons why children act this way are biological reasons. And we call it brain development. We call it neurological development. We call it personality development. And what ends up happening is this, is that very often children will fly off the handle when they get upset. And when you understand why, and we're going to talk about brain structure right now, you start to see your children very, very differently. Earlier, I said there's a natural and immediate shift in how you do things. Well, let me just do a little segue here. About 10 years ago, I was in India. Yes, in India. And this guy bumped into me, and I was under the assumption he was going to rob me. And I turned around ready for action because I was triggered. I was ready. And I discovered the guy was blind. And why am I telling you this story? Because in an instant, I went from anger and fight or flight mode to empathy and compassion and helpfulness. You see, when you understand why things happen, it changes everything. So when we talk about brain development, we all get dysregulated at times. And so I want to teach you a little bit about the brain and why your children misbehave. For example, your brain is what we call the triune brain. We'll get into all the details on that. We don't have time for that. But you have basically three sections in your brain. And the lower part of your brain is asking, am I safe? The middle part of your brain is asking, am I loved? And the frontal lobe of your brain, your cerebral cortex, is asking, what can I learn? How do I make meaning out of this event? How do I plan ahead? And the bottom line is that when children are dysregulated, their brain is not working in harmony with itself. And they get dysregulated, they get triggered, the fight or flight reflex gets going, and all of a sudden what you see is an angry, outrageously obnoxious human being on your hands because they are literally dysregulated. Their brains are not functioning in harmony in that moment. And biologically, they're very, very young. They don't have the neural networks in their brain to help them emotionally self-regulate. And this is a large reason why they're struggling so much. So when you think of, why is my child acting that way? You might want to look at, well, is he dysregulated? Is she dysregulated? And what can I do to help my child get a more harmonious brain? And I'll tell you, one of the areas, sleep. That when you get your child to sleep better, very often they have more access to their brain and they behave better. If you literally shut this tape off right now, make sure you get your child to sleep better, because biologically, if they have access to their brain, sleep-deprived children do not act out near as much as children that are sleep-deprived. And yet they'll say, oh, my child's a hellion right now. He's really obnoxious. Well, guess what? No, he's sleep-deprived. You know, I'm reminded of a mom that came to me a couple years back, and she had three boys, and her little guy, she described him literally as a holy terror. And so in the assessment, after talking to her, I realized that there was no margin in her life. She was taking her little guy, put him in the car, and they were going to all of the soccer, baseball practices and the Cub Scout practices after school. And her little guy wasn't getting the kind of sleep that he needed. And I said, you know, why do you think he's behaving this way? And she goes, this is why I'm here. Long story short, I said to her, I'll tell you what, here's your assignment this week. Invest in yourself and your education. Get your child a babysitter. Leave him at home. Get him the sleep that he needs and see what starts to happen. That mom came into my office a week later in tears, like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe what a difference. The first 2 days, I had him with a sitter. He was an angel. The next couple of days, I got carpools for my boys and did not get my kid in the car where he couldn't sleep. And she said to me, I was absolutely blown away by how much better behaved my boy was. And she's like, I just can't believe that much of a change occurred by just getting my child to have a better night's sleep. Well, guess what? That's a biological function. That's not a choice. You see, when we look at biology, a lot of biology is not a choice. Your eye color, your hair color, your height, those aren't choices. You know, I look at my students in class a lot, and I'll tell them, you know, a lot of your behavior is not a choice. There are biological systems in your body. And then I'll yell at them, ugh, really loud, and I'll startle them. And I'll say, how many of you in this room just chose to behave the way you did? And of course, no one raises their hand, because I just proved to them that in a nanosecond, that stimulus overwhelmed your brain, it dysregulated your brain, and you went into a startle response, and none of that was a choice. Well, when children are sleep deprived, a large part of their behavior is not a choice. They get cranky, impatient, nasty sometimes. So why is my child acting that way? A lot of it has to do with sleep deprivation and biology. Let's be clear that the human brain does not fully develop until it's about 25 in females and about 27 or so with males. And a child at 3, 4, and 5 has a severely underdeveloped brain, so we can't expect a lot out of a child whose brain is underdeveloped. And yes, on one end, they'll tell you, you'll say to them, do you know why you did that? Or you'll say things like, not why you did it, but do you know that's not good behavior? Yeah. Well, how come you did that? I don't know. I'll be frank with you. The answer, how come they did it? My brain was dysregulated. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I'm lonely. I lacked sleep last night. I'm overwhelmed on sugar. And I'm stressed out. That's why I did it. I'm sorry, but that's why I did it. You see, that's stress behavior, not misbehavior. So when we look at this, there are biological functions, hidden biological functions that drive children. And then they can't emotionally self-regulate. So this is kind of an advanced strategy, but I want to throw this out to you. One of the other reasons is temperament. Temperament is very much biologically endowed. I'm thinking back on my son when he's 17 now, and when he was about 4, he was a little monster sometimes. And I remember one day in particular, we were getting ready to go to church. And I thought, I'm going to wake up early. I'm going to feed this boy. My wife and I are going to have some quality time with him. We're going to give him lots of choices. We're going to create this really great environment and get a really nice day in. So I walked over after we had breakfast and everything, and I gave him his Nintendo DS. And I said, hey, buddy, you know, we're going to give this to you for about 25, 30 minutes, and then we're going to go to church. Okay. So I said, so would you like to give it to me now or in 10 minutes? Of course, he said 10 minutes. Would you like to give it to me now or in 5 minutes? Of course, he said 5 minutes, because the in-touch parents, we give a lot of choices. Instead of giving orders, giving up, and giving in, we give choices. And so now it's the moment of truth. And I said, okay, buddy, it's time to hand me your Nintendo DS. And of course, he says to me, just a minute. And I have to tell you, in that moment, I was not a happy camper. Not at all. Matter of fact, on one hand, and the science tells us this, there's ghosts in the nursery. On one hand, I had my father's voice, he's since passed away, yelling at me, take him out. Do something right now. Establish your authority as a dad. Let him know who's boss. Set those boundaries and don't let your child run this home. And of course, on my other shoulder was my mom. He's just a child. He's a little creature that doesn't even know what he's doing. Give him some grace. Give him some empathy. Accept him. He's stuck. And of course, I was stuck as a parent. So you know what I did? I thought, I'm going to give him, because I asked, why is he doing this? And I thought, something's going on. So I gave him a minute. And of course, I had to calm my pulsating heart. I had to calm my nervous system. And I took a nice deep breath. And about 30 seconds into it, my little guy changed my life forever. He folded that thing up. He handed it to me, looked me right in the eyes and said, Daddy, is there anything I can do to get us in the car? And I was like, huh? Who is this boy? Whose child is this? What just happened? You see, folks, when you are clear on why and you parent according to your child's temperament, things start to change. You see, a child's temperament has a lot to do with, you know, how overwhelmed they get, the kinds of transitions they have. My son, you could describe with one word, more. He's more picky. He's more emotionally driven. He can feel the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat on a level 20. And his transitions a lot of times have been difficult through his life because going to the bathroom, he was never regular. Eating, he was never regular. And sleeping, he was never regular. And when you have a child that does that, we, mom and dad, were always questioning ourselves. And I went and talked to a guy about it. And he says, oh, no, that's your son's temperament. A lot of the research shows us that temperament has to do with your sleeping patterns. Temperament has to do with your eating patterns. Because my boy would be that kind of kid. My guess is you could relate to this. We'd have the meal. He wouldn't be hungry. We'd no more get done with a meal. And guess who all of a sudden is hungry? Yeah, guess who's all of a sudden is hungry? And it used to overwhelm me until I realized part of that is not control, manipulation. Part of that is their temperament, that he had these very unwavering eating, sleeping, and going to the bathroom cycles. And once you and I get dialed into that stuff, it changes how we think about, how we influence, and how we relate to our children. So there I am, overwhelmed. I give him a moment. I see my son. He says this. And all of a sudden, everything starts to change. Everything changed. And the next thing you know, I look at him, I go, well, thank you very much. Now, would you like to walk to the car or shall I carry you? No, I'll walk to the car. And that little guy walked over to the car, and when he got in the car seat, he didn't arch his back and scream and yell because I don't want to go to church. He was a little trooper that day, and that ride to church was fine. And when we got out of the car, he held my hand. He was relaxed. The family was relaxed. Again, more family harmony. Got out of survival mode because I parented according to my child's temperament. So what I'm really trying to say here is that 30 seconds changed everything. And my guess is, as a parent, you can afford 30 seconds if you get dialed in to your child's temperament, that biologically God-given, endowed temperament. And when you get dialed into it, just like a guy that's turning the channels on a radio, you get in that right frequency, and all of a sudden you're parenting in touch. That's why I call it in touch parenting. You're parenting in touch with your child. You're plugged in, you're current, you're up to date, and you're in the know about what's going on with your child. And what you end up doing is create ideal conditions for growth.
Thanks for listening. You've reached the end of this module. To listen to the next module, just click the email link we sent you when you registered. And by the way, be sure to check out Steve's 40-day home study program called How to Tame Tantrums Without Raising Your Voice. Simply go to www.intouchparenting.com/tame2.0. This unique program has been getting rave reviews from busy parents just like you. If you liked the information on this audio presentation, feel free to share it with your friends and post comments on sites like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.